This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, trader Nick, and financial writer for Oanda, Christian Norman. How are you doing, guys?
Hi, Johnny. Afternoon.
Hi, good to be with you, Johnny.
Hi, guys. Good to be back with you.
Nick, if I could start with your reaction to those latest US GDP figures we heard about earlier. The US economy has grown faster than previously thought, pumped up perhaps by an ebb in imports and a pickup in consumer spending. But GDP increased at an upwardly revised 3.8% rate last quarter, and the economy was initially reported to have grown at a 3.3% in the second quarter. So be interested to know what you feel about it and how have currency markets and other markets reacted to this news?
Yeah, Johnny. So 3.8% compared to the forecast at 3.3, just goes to show the U.S. economy continues to do what it's done for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, which is impress or and surprise many forecasts and expectations. U.S. GDP numbers coming in this strong, to your point, may have something to do with imports and the like. But we also had unemployment claims today that came in lower than expected. Durable goods and core durable goods both came in strong. So you had this refreshing kind of strength for the U.S. economy today in terms of what was reported. The U.S. dollar index, DXY, is up 0.54% here today and breaking what has been sort of this downward trend for most of 2025, or at least trying to. We've bottomed out around that 96.50 level from late June into July. We've bottomed out and retested that area. It does look like this is causing rate cut probabilities to dwindle a little bit, which is part of the reasons why I think that the dollar is so strong today. You have the 10-year yield moving higher on this, about 0.92%, currently sitting at a nominal basis of 4.187. So you have a rise in the 10-year yield, signaling perhaps that rate cut probabilities are slightly less forecasted now. Stock market was also down a little bit here today initially, has bounced back since. But yes, the dollar strength, I think, is largely built around the idea that typically, historically speaking, the Fed cuts rates when they feel they need to, not necessarily when they want to, right? So they are typically, the bond market is a little bit more forward-looking even than the Fed themselves. Most of the time, the bond market sniffs something out even before the Fed does. And so, you know, when we look at that, we are saying, okay, the U.S. economy may not need as many rate cuts, whereas a couple weeks ago, it was like, hey, labor market's starting to really cool. We could really use some rate cuts. Well, we've had two back-to-back unemployment claims numbers, which were much better than expected. GDP numbers are better than expected today. So again, I think short-term, this is boding really well for the dollar and putting a little bit of a slowdown in the expectation for rate cuts for the rest of this year, causing some pretty sharp reversals in FX world. Euro dollar lower by 0.5% today, pound dollar down 0.67%, dollar is up against most other major currencies.
Kenny, did you want to come back to Nick on that?
I would definitely agree with Nick that we're seeing a very positive report of the U.S. economy, but there is the caution that a lot of this may be due to volatility we're seeing in GDP, 3.8% in this estimate compared to 3.3% in the previous estimate is due to tariffs, and there is still a lot of uncertainty around the tariffs. There are some concerns that the second half of the year might be quite a bit lower in terms of GDP, perhaps only 1.5%. So I think much will depend on the U.S. consumer if he continues to defy expectations and continue spending. So the news today is definitely good, but I think there is a cautionary note about the continuing uncertainty of the Trump tariffs, which may be contributing to the GDP.
Christian, your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly a good sign on paper for the US economy today, and not just GDP numbers, but across the board with jobless claims, durable good orders. I think, like I say, on paper, this is good. And like, we've seen the reaction from the markets today with the dollar, metals, bond markets as well. As Kenny so expertly mentioned, it is about how the rest of the year looks, but at least we can certainly be happy today, especially when you consider what the figures look like in the previous quarter from this one.
When you say this is good, in a sense, we're going back to the idea of, well, is it good though? Because good news is sometimes bad news when it comes to the likelihood of a rate cut sooner rather than later, or the number of rate cuts we'll see before the end of the year. So some might agree with you that it's a good news story, but others perhaps not.
There certainly is that school of thought that exists. A stronger economy, you would imagine rate cuts are becoming less likely, at least on paper. But it is about balancing the expectation of rate cuts versus what the economy is doing and how that all affects the King dollar. So we'll see how things pan out. But it's all about reaction versus response. It's about the reaction in the short term versus the more leveled response in the longer term.
Meanwhile, Kenny, we've heard today from the Swiss National Bank, no change for interest rates, but that was expected, wasn't it?
That's correct, Johnny. The Swiss National Bank, the central bank, kept rates at zero. That was an expected decision. The US dollar is up about 0.6% today. But again, I think that is basically due to the US GDP rather than the Swiss central bank decision. What was interesting is that the central bank did warn that US tariffs are expected to dampen the Swiss economy. We may recall that a lot of countries have negotiated 15% tariffs with President Trump, but Switzerland is stuck with around 39% tariffs on a lot of products, which could be very damaging to the economy. And the central bank is certainly concerned about that. One option is to lower rates into negative territory, but there's a lot of hesitance on the part of the Swiss central bank to do that. So right now they're happy to stay at zero. But if things do get a little bit more difficult for the Swiss economy, we could see negative rates come back after a bit of a break from that in the last while.
It's an amazing contrast, isn't it, Nick, that we're seeing across the world. We've got here in the UK pretty high rates when you can compare them to the ECB, particularly the Swiss National Bank, and to a certain extent, the United States. But there's nothing really consistent, is there, across the board as far as central bank rates are concerned?
Yeah, there's some divergence between different central banks dealing with different, specific issues. So they're not all exactly the same, but we have generally seen a path towards easing internationally from most central banks. And also just to follow up on Christian's commentary a little bit about the, you know, is this good news? And your question, good news, bad news about all this data point, right? Like how much like GDP numbers that can be very confusing to a non, you know, market junkie like myself, to see GDP numbers come in strong and cause the stock market to go down. But it is sort of this weird thing where you have rate cuts are so beholden to investors that they're willing to see bad data in order to get those rate cuts. I personally actually think it depends on who you ask, right? If you're talking about, is this GDP data good news or bad news? It depends who you ask. If you are looking at, megatech stocks like Amazon, Apple, Nvidia, Google, I would actually argue that's good news, right? Because those companies, they don't need to borrow. They would just want a roaring economy to continue the build out of AI. Like, however, if you talk about home builders or stocks that are more sensitive to borrowing, utilities companies, et cetera, they do love and cheer the idea of rate cuts because it significantly impacts their bottom line. And then, of course, it's very obvious what it does to, you know, bond investments, right? Because like yields and inflation and all that expectations are a little bit more. But yes, it can be very confusing, specifically when talking about risk assets, how these central bank moves can impact the prices of things. Though, in my personal opinion, good GDP numbers is ultimately, in the bigger picture, a good thing for US stocks, not a bad thing.
I wonder what President Trump would regard as good news. Obviously, he's put the Fed and particularly Jerome Powell under a lot of pressure to cut rates over the last few months. And with those midterm elections in mind, Nick, in November 2026, maybe the timing will be good for Trump in terms of when the next bout of more interest, and we're going to have obviously more rate cuts this year, but in a year from now, we might get much lower rates than we have already. So it'd be very interesting to follow how the dot plot goes.
Yes, for sure. I think it's a weird one because, again, the Fed sometimes gets called sort of the scapegoat for the president, because if things break down in the next year, the Fed can be the one to be blamed by the president. And if things go really, really well, the president can take the credit. So it is a little bit of the scapegoat of the president. So I don't know. We'll have to see how things go in the coming year or so. I do think you're going to continue to see rate cuts, but in terms of historically what you would want to see if you want to see, if Trump were to get his way, it would be slow rate cuts with good growth. That would be like the late 90s where you saw this just melt up in stock prices that, you know, was just a, you know, actually to comment on that while we're talking about the 90s, recently Powell, when speaking, mentioned that many people called it his Alan Greenspan irrational exuberance moment. He mentioned that he thinks stock prices are high. Essentially, the market took that as a comparison to the 1996 Alan Greenspan moment where he said stocks were irrationally exuberant. And the stock market proceeded to go up for four more years, nothing but upside. So here's the Fed chair saying these things, and the stock market doesn't necessarily listen to the valuations of anyone. It can go crazy for a lot longer than people think. So if Trump were to get what he wants, it would probably be that exact moment where a couple years from now, Powell looks like he called the top way too early, but who knows? We'll see.
So before we go, Christian, I wanted to get your thoughts on the latest gold and silver numbers.
Well, absolutely. We've touched already on the Fed interest rate decision last week. And of course, as was expected, we got the 25 basis point cut that we all had expected personally and market wide. But it was so interesting to me to see how metals reacted to the decision itself, but more importantly, the commentary after. Because on paper, a reduction in rates is good in some regards for non-yielding assets like gold and silver. But of course, on the day itself and at the time of the announcement, we saw metal prices selling off, which is not something I could have said a lot this year. Of course, 2025 has been a very good year for gold and silver. Up until that point, it looked to be continuing. The recent rally in the past couple of months has been very, very impressive. But the devil is, of course, in the details, and nothing is necessarily black and white when it comes to market commentary. And it was the way the rate cut was marketed, let's say, by Jerome Powell, regarding the risk management comments, which cast some shadows over the idea that this could be the start of a very aggressive cutting cycle by the Federal Reserve, especially when you consider recent jobs numbers. Of course, today's GDP numbers, that muddies the picture a little bit more. But at least in the short term, at that time, people were thinking, actually, the rate cuts going forward are not as nailed on as perhaps they have been owing to that commentary. But I think since then, apart from today and the GDP numbers and how that's affected things, we've seen silver prices rebound handsomely. Gold is doing okay also. Gold renewing highs, as is silver. And I think it's more of a case of you now see a more rational response from the markets. You understand that jobs numbers are where they are. Of course, we're waiting further numbers in a couple of weeks from NFP. We'll see how those look. But jobs numbers are where they are. The economy, some question marks. Inflation, of course, some question marks, as it has been the whole of the year. For me, it's a case of reaction, response. The reaction is to sell precious metals. The response in the longer term, as it has been for much 2025, is to buy. And of course, interest rates is so, so important to that. I think the biggest thing was understanding that there is already a school of thought within the Fed, courtesy of Stephen Moran, who want to cut rates more aggressively than 25 basis points. Of course, there was some dissent last decision where he voted for a 50 basis point cut. So that already exists. There's already some rationale behind that, at least in his mind as a policymaker. So again, in the short term last week, saw some selling, but of course, we've recovered very well since. I think gold is trading quite comfortably above $3,700 per troy ounce in today's session, and silver doing even better on a percentage performance wise this week. So we'll see how long it can continue, but the commentary around the Fed and of course the GDP numbers today making things just that little bit more difficult. So we'll see how long it can continue.
Absolutely. Very interesting, Christian. Thank you for those thoughts. And thank you once again to Kenny and Nick. We will speak to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to be with you, guys.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.